So I smoked. I thought, today I'm just smoke weed. I don't really like it, but I'm going to go for it with these guys. And of course, I'm talking to them. Hand me the weed. They're just going crazy on it. I take two big hits, and I have this incredible, I have what's called an anticholinergic delirium. I felt like I was going to have a seizure, so I couldn't sit down.
Can I just say, when you have a bad reaction and you know the medical term, it makes it way worse.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. We appreciate y'all being here and keep supporting us, supporting the show, and sending those emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. And, of course, the voice messages at 818-253-1693. The YMH world, this show, literally makes my life worth living.
Really?
As does my next guest, Ari Schaefer. The new comedy special on YouTube is Jew. It's a big reach for Ari. He's going to name it Jew. What's it about?
It's about Jews. It's about our kind, you know.
What?
Yeah. Listen, I think all these people are kind of right. We are annoying. We should go. So it's really just me saying I'm sorry for our past crimes. Butting in line, always bargaining for no reason, going into the kitchen in hotels.
What is that all about?
It's just cultural.
There's the time that, where did you live before New York? Did you live in LA any period
LA,
of time?
Yeah.
Did you notice that there was no such thing when I was growing up as somebody you could sort of identify so clearly as Jewish? In other words, the standout costumes and the behavior that was not around.
Like Hasidic, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, my family in Los Angeles in the past year, my extended family was in that district, in the Fairfax district. That's where I used to go visit my aunts and uncles there and things. Yeah. There was no cakes on the head, and there was no payoffs and stuff. And what happened? Nadav is knowingly looking at me. Do you know what's
happening?
They're
always around. What
I'm
is
sure
it,
they were, but they were not crossing the street every Friday night the way they are now when you can't.
Jays don't really go away. You know?
They don't what?
They don't go away.
They breed heavily.
Yeah.
No, but when did the
like cockroaches.
But all that come to be, or did somebody move in that was?
I think it was always that way.
No, I tell you, it wasn't, because I spent a lot of time in that district in the 60s and 70s.
Oh.
And it was, there was zero. I mean, I'm sure they were
maybe
around.
Maybe they moved in.
Did they move in?
Yeah,
or
maybe.
Did the people that were there sort of progress?
They didn't progress. They didn't. Right, that's somebody, old school. That's European shit. They didn't like start dressing that way.
Okay. All right. So they moved in. And that's what I
wanted.
If there
was a big sale, I could see they were like, you know what? Let's switch it up.
So you know, my extended family on my dad's side is, you know, Ukrainian refugees from the pogroms.
How are they doing?
They're doing good. They all did well here. They did well.
They got out.
They got out. Everybody lived in ghettos in Chicago and Hartford and
really?
That seemed to in New York. That seemed to be the exodus through Canada. I don't know what that whole mechanism was. But nobody ever talks about what happened to the Eastern European Jews. It's all about what happened to the German and Polish and... You know, we obviously that's the headline, but there was some terrible stuff.
Yeah,
that went on.
That's my dad, I guess.
Right,
so Hungary, Romania.
You could pick your poison there. You could go either the German concentration camp or the Stalin purges. Either way, Hungary. The other thing about Hungary that I've noticed, and it's not specific to the Jews. I mean, Christina's a good example of this. The smartest
Christina's
people.
Christina's a Nazi.
Not yeah. Well, she may be the one. I don't know. Her dad,
no, she's not. She's not.
Her
she's
dad.
Not,
okay. Her dad was a pretty interesting dude. But the smartest people on earth.
Who?
The Hungarians.
Oh.
I proclaim that every time I talk to her. Just whenever you look at mathematicians, or they're always got a Hungarian and photographic memories. I've noticed my patients
really?
With photographic memories always had Hungarian background. Not necessarily Jewish, but just that region, that Austro-Hungarian thing. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so what are we going to learn by watching your YouTube special, and where do we watch it? How do we watch it?
You just go to YouTube and put in Jew.
And it just comes right up.
It'll come up top three with Kanye, for sure. So what do you do if you just put in Jew? Let's just see. Here, hold on. On YouTube itself.
There's Ari.
There I am, number one.
Oh, good for you. Should we look at something?
Number two is great. No. 16 reasons why Jewish people are richer.
Well, what do you think? That's going to help things. What do you think is fueling Ye's feelings about things.
I think he legitimately, I think he was, he's colloquial, you know, he uses like poetic wording.
Yeah.
And when he goes, I'm going DEF CON on the Jews. I know he said DEF CON, but I believe him when he was like, I don't know how to spell.
Right. He meant DEF CON.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, I think he meant he was going to fire his agents. I've been referring to my agents as my Jews for so long.
And why do you think Jews ended up in that area of work, in that discipline?
Money to be made. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I honestly think because like if you an agent or a manager, you got to work as an assistant for like a few years at very little money.
Yes.
And so the only way you can afford to do that is if you have someone else funneling you money.
Or you really don't care. You got nothing to lose.
Right. But I mean, if mommy and daddy are like, we'll pay for you for a while, so, then it's so, like, fine. So Jews can do that better than fucking Mexicans.
So is the resentment towards sort of people of Jewish descent the fact that they are successful?
Yeah. I mean, same reason people hate the Patriots.
but envy is a powerful emotion. It is alive and well in America today. Yeah. Do you see a...
I live in New York, so it's tough. I don't really think any of this shit's real.
Really?
I live in a city where like no one's anti-Semitic. You might be like, ugh. You know, but you say that about every race equally.
Yeah.
You know, on Puerto Rican Day Parade, you're like, fuck these fucking Puerto Ricans, you know, but every other day they're fine.
Well, and I've noticed that there's the really some of the worst kind of ethnic kind of feelings slash racism is within an ethnicity.
Oh, dude, I've never seen anyone hate Jews as much as like me and my friends.
Right. Yeah, I know Nadav. I know him.
Oh, no, he's the worst.
He's the worst. Absolutely
yeah,
the worst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We try to hide him during all this Kanye stuff because it'd be for real, it'd be like, hey, he's right.
But like Hispanics, you know, the Nicaraguans hate the El Salvadorians. The El Salvadorians hate the Panamanians.
Right?
It is weird. And even Asian cultures, right?
There's like a hierarchy.
Ali Wong has a thing where she said she married a husband. It's like he's Vietnamese and Chinese or something, and she's Japanese and some Filipino or something. And they spend all their time shitting on Koreans. So it's like that's the crazy thing about humans. Humans are crazy, right? There's no reason for any of this. And the craziest thing of all is that the more we mix our genes, the healthier we are. And so that's literally a biological truth.
Whoa.
And why we would be so separate and then have energy around it is astonishing.
It's weird too. It's just people holding on to shit. I think in the old days, in the old country, like the Jews were kind of separatists. And so you need to hate somebody. And so there were no blacks yet. And so they're like, well, they look different.
I'm going to tell you something honest. I'm Jewish. I'm like barely. I learned a little bit to be able to navigate with my own family. My mom is a goy. It's like, what am I? I don't know. But I always hated shitza, goy, whatever. But I always hated the feeling that it was a club. I hate clubs. I hated that.
To be in with Jews, you mean?
There was a special language and you greeted each other a certain way. And if you didn't respond in kind, there was like a weird, it was very, I did not like it. I don't like clubs. I don't like excluding people from anything. I didn't like vaccine passports. I'm very sensitive to that shit. And so to me, that separatist piece you're talking about is a giant error. It's a giant error. It's how people get weird and start to have envy for each other.
It was just, also came from small towns and small things where it's like, we just have a community. Mm-hmm. But it was based on religion and stuff. Bandit, what's going on? Come here, buddy. Come here.
Oh, he looks scared, doesn't he?
No, he's just like whining.
There's a dog over there.
You're a bitch, dude. Come here.
We have a beautiful. Is he a puppy?
No.
He looks like a puppy.
I know. A lot of Botox.
Is he smart?
Yeah. What?
I wish we could get a camera on him. He's frozen solid looking at Ari. Like, you can't even tell. Oh, now he's looking at me. I'm sorry. He needs food. The dog needs. All right, here's what we do.
All right, yeah.
Ari, everything good with you in your life? Everything?
Everything's great. I saw your old partner not too long ago.
Which partner?
Corolla.
Oh yeah, what were you doing?
Doing his podcast.
Good. And are you traveling a lot? Do you have a relationship?
Yeah, I'm traveling hella.
What's your life like?
I just got back from Mexico City, and then the beach of Mexico. I'm going to. When does this come out? I don't want to tell anybody, I guess, but I'm going to another South American country.
Oh, how cool. And performing or just traveling?
Just traveling.
Oh, good for you.
I want to go get lost for like 6 months.
I get soon. It. I was just in Europe and I got to tell you something. When you get away from this country, you see some of the craziness and it's not desirable. It's not
some
appealing.
Of the craziness where? Here? Yeah, when you come back.
You're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Dude, I got back from Paris. And it's one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
I love Paris.
And I got back from there to New York.
Yeah.
And it hit me for the first time. I'm like, this place is disgusting.
Yeah.
There's so many rats writing on every wall. They're just writing on things.
Yeah.
Ads in your face. It's so gross.
I still love New York City, though.
It's great, but like it looks disgusting.
It does. But the other thing that the in Europe, people sort of celebrate their culture and their you know, they enjoy socializing. They don't beat the shit out of each other the way we do
it's
here.
So slow and nice. Sit in a cafe and drink.
That's all I did in Paris. We'd go to the museum till 3, and we'd sit in the cafe till 11.
Dude, it was so bomb. I started smoking. So I was like, I thought it'd be cool. So I started rolling cigarettes. And people are like, you smoke? I'm like, no, I'm faking it. Like
everybody smokes.
I know. Everybody. Like, you feel bad because you're next to a kid, like in a stroller, and they're like, oh, the mom and dad are fucking blowing it in their face. They don't get cancer there.
Yeah, right. They just don't. They don't care. But are you in a relationship? Or are you? What's in your going on in your life?
Yeah, off and on.
Off and on.
Yeah.
And does somebody travel with you? Or?
No. I like traveling alone.
Really?
Yeah. So I mean, I do. I do travel with people too.
Where did you stay in Paris?
10th arrondissement.
10th arrondissement.
Yeah. Which is sort of like West Africans.
Oh, right. And did you go in more towards the center?
Yeah. I took a writing class, creative writing class with Rolf Potts.
In French?
Mm-hmm. No, in English.
English.
Oh, yeah. He just used to teach at the college there. So he's been pushing me to take it for a while.
Oh, like how
travel
cool.
Writing. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Is the 10th the writer's district? Is that writer's district on the left bank? Is that, I think that's the 14th.
It's
or
up
something.
More.
Yeah.
The class was like in the first.
Oh, yeah.
What a cool city, though, huh?
Beyond.
It was just, you sit at a cafe, you get a coffee, they don't bug you, they don't make you leave.
And then after an hour, you're
like, snack? And they're like, okay.
You have to kind of beg for the bill.
Yeah. When you're like ready to leave, you still got to get them.
Yeah. They are not coming and saying you're ready to go with anything. Yeah. You got to go, hey, come on over here. And they're happy to come, but they don't automatically come. And service is not the strongest suit, right? They don't like serving. They don't have the service thing down in Europe quite. But so what? So what? All right, here's what we do on this show. You asked how it is like Loveline and how it's not like Loveline. We have emails, we have voice messages, we have videos, okay? So it's
because now you've entered into the your mom house world.
Yes.
So your old Loveline callers were damaged people and intelligent people.
Yes.
And this is just degenerates.
Well,
you're
really just talking about the people here at your mom's house when you say that.
The staff for sure.
Yeah, the staff, Tom
and
Christina.
It goes out from there. Yeah. Bad people.
Right. And as bad people, they make fun of injured people and impaired people.
Yeah.
And so when I was first dragged into this environment, I was sort of shocked and off balance. And I still have the same emotional reaction that I've had since I first got here when I listened and watched some of this stuff, which is sad. What was that?
Accidental
that
drop.
That J?
That's you.
That J. What does that drop mean?
That's normal for a penis.
Oh, yes. Oh, good. We got drops. Just like, that's like Loveline. That's a new feature. Wow. The Dom on his game. So that's like Loveline. All right. So, but it is people. Here's the crazy thing about this as compared to Loveline.
Wait a minute. You can't not finish that. You said you started feeling all bad. But then what? Now what happens?
I still feel bad.
Now you feel good.
No. I said I embrace feel exactly the same thing. However, I'm somewhat numb to all of it. I'll participate in it much to my chagrin.
So you can laugh. I just say the title of this podcast, Dr. Drew After Dark, is you. The darkness is in you.
Well,
and this is you after the your mom's house darkness.
Make of it what you will. There's a lot he's plowed Kurtz, into that title.
Fucking Kurtz over here.
it's uncomfortable. I think the idea is that I should be uncomfortable and mission accomplished, right? with that evil laugh.
I mean, nobody at K-Rock was going to cover your car in shit.
Well, but yeah, no. But here's the craziness is that back then, there was no internet. I really sort of fashioned the show after what I would have wanted if I were 18 or 20. You know, what would I need information-wise? The 90s and the early 2000s.
It was great.
Yeah, but there was no internet. There was no information. There was nowhere to go where kids could ask these really complicated but challenging questions. Now, it's a Google search away, right? And this is the insane part. They're as confused as ever. They're just as confused as ever. Because information and understanding and wisdom, there's a giant gap. You can get the information. That's just that doesn't have, you know, you don't really fully understand it just by having the information. So they still need a place to have it explicated and a place they can trust and a place they can sort of dig in a little deeper. And
yeah, I always liked you because you would give real advice. You'd be like, you know, like, I don't know, you can still get herpes when you're wearing a condom, but you'd be like, yeah, but not really. You'd be like, the odds are very low.
Right. I would say, I would say, look, realistically, I have to tell you X, but if you take the Zovirax and you wear a condom, don't stress. Don't stress yourself. You're going to be fine. All right. So here's the kind of things we get from our callers, our viewers. From your mom's house, the 26-year-old female had a terrible experience with weed. Oh, I'm glad we're asking. This is interesting.
Well, let me guess what it is. She couldn't find any.
No, no. Because I had a reaction I was talking about, and she's responding to that. I was incoherent. I was thinking I was going to have a seizure. Is it possible to have a seizure from weed? Yes, it is.
It is? Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you can green out, right? A seizure. Like,
you can actually have a seizure. And I started smoking when I was 21. I had this reaction almost every time. An ex told me that I just need to do it more often. That's everybody told me that when I had a horrible toxic
reaction. Just smoke more.
Look at this dog going to Christina's chair. Christina's where my mom's at.
Good girl, Bandit. Good girl, Bandit.
Where my mom's house is sort of set is off in the distance here, and the dog is tearing her chair apart. All right. I still smoke, but significantly smaller amount. I found that sativa is my friend. Indica strains give me panic
attacks.
Yeah,
I had to switch recently.
Okay. Biggest factor, we're going to get into this. Biggest factor is with staying away from bongs. Crossfados Barbados. What's that?
Hell yeah, dude.
It's when you start smoking and then switch to drinking.
Yeah, you do both of them. You just crossfade until you're in.
As you come down on one, you're coming up on the other.
Who invented crossfaded? Crossfados Barbados? Who invented this term?
Someone chill.
Me and my friends would say it in college, and I just kind of.
Oh my God! Why haven't I ever heard of this?
I've never heard that term. I've heard crossfaded.
I feel ignorant. When I smoke, I'll also have a drink, and that'll bring me the edge off the weed. Blah blah blah. I still consider myself a lightweight. One or two baby puffs of joint.
You got to get Mexican weed. If that's my advice, you got to find some Mexican weed that's not that strong.
And she says, "P.S. I'll show you how these big tits fart in May." Don't see. You're in your mom's house. Do you understand? There are greetings. There are sort of aphorisms that everyone goes to, and there's one of them. Blame Tom and Christina. So here's what she's talking about. I was smoking weed with a very famous weed consumer, a
Snoop.
Public figure. No.
Rogan.
More in the Rogan kind of category. And I had a terrible reaction. I thought, and there were several well-known weed smokers at this party. I thought, well, tonight I'm going to smoke weed. Doug is sort of more committed, more sort of defined by. But anyway, I don't want to out anybody.
Okay.
But the point is,
Big J.
They had Jay.
What, out are you by for what? Smoking weed? You don't want to out a well-known pot smoker for smoking pot?
He is. If I told you, you would kind of understand why. And same with the other guys that were there. They're known for it, but they don't like make a deal of it. So except they. Announce that they smoke weed. They don't make a deal. They smoke a lot of
Seth Rogen.
And it's more in that zone. So I smoked. I thought, tonight I'm going to smoke weed. I don't really like it, but I'm going to go for it with these guys. And of course, I'm talking to them. Hand me the weed. They're just going crazy on it. I take two big hits, and I have this I have what's called an anticholinergic delirium. I felt like I was going to have a seizure, so I appreciate what this girl's saying, but I couldn't. I got Parkinsonian. I couldn't sit down.
Can I just say, when you have a bad reaction and you know the medical term, it makes it way worse.
No, it made it way better because I knew what was happening. Because really? Otherwise, I would have had panic on top of everything else. I'm like, holy shit.
If I'm just like, I feel weird. When you have Parkinsonian whatever, dyslexia.
Anticholinergic delirium. And I couldn't, somebody said sit down. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't navigate sitting down. I couldn't do it. And people would talk to me. I couldn't understand what they were saying. I was sick for 5 days. I couldn't drive a car for 2.5 days.
What?
Yeah. Oh, fuck really? You, Nadav. God damn
you
it.
You couldn't drive a car for 2.5 days?
My wife had to drive me around.
Do you think it was related to you being old?
Who knows? I mean, I looked in the medical literature very quickly, and it's reported.
You couldn't drive for 2 days?
I couldn't
Who
exercise.
Who smoked you out, bro?
I couldn't.
Name names.
And I felt terrible, and he felt terrible, too. And he goes, I forgot to tell you, that one was also rolled in hash.
Nice. TJ Miller.
TJ, I've never spoken to you with TJ, but by the way, I've been around Jay and Gomez and all these guys.
Oh yeah, you just went and did Legion of Skanks.
God, I
dude,
love
it's
those
too
guys.
Much with the torch.
How the
it's
fuck?
Too much.
How do they function?
I don't know. They light up a torch, fucking idiot Lewis, and you light up a torch, and then he starts doing it. You're like, well, then I'm just done on this podcast. I'll smoke it, but I'm just done participating.
Right. I wouldn't be able to. Right. Well, now I'm really, I like have to be careful, I guess.
Oh, he's a bad guy. You got to stay away from him.
No, I love those guys.
Don't do that podcast anymore.
I'm dying to do it again. I will do it again. But it looks superhuman to me when they're taking the dabs and going crazy, and it seems to, it doesn't slow their pace down.
We're all just smoking weed. Hey, no worries. You're bringing out fucking building equipment.
I understand.
Fuck that.
No, I see what they do. They blow torches and stuff.
I'm scared of burning myself.
So back to this chick.
Skankfest last week of September in Vegas. Don't tell anybody.
What's that?
I'm just ruining Lewis's big announcement. His big announcement set for fucking a month from now, but it's ruined. Last week of September, Skankfest. Book your tickets now. Fuck you, Lewis.
They just had Skankfest.
Yeah, they're doing it again next year. They were talking about doing Brooklyn. They're not. They're doing it in Vegas. You heard it from me, Dr. Drew.
Well, I was going to try to make this last one. I'm going to make this one.
Oh, really?
I'm
you
make
heard
an
it first, Dr.
This.
Drew, first
I'll
booking.
I'll be at Skankfest.
Sorry for president.
Oh, Jesus. Guys, Lewis.
You should make it. It is fun.
Oh, I love these guys.
Dude, let's get you fucked up.
They're the not Drew, you know what I mean? And I like being around people that aren't like me. I love it. I people think I'm the, you know, don't enjoy yourself, don't party guy. I am not. I'm the guy that if people get out of control and need help, I can help you. But I am not interested in bumming anybody's high or telling anybody how to live their life. I'm not interested.
You don't want to harsh their mellow?
I don't want to harsh them.
I learned all those terms at Woodstock.
Crossfados.
Yeah.
Jesus. So in any event, so she's talking about having had a little bit of an anticholinergic reaction. She's had that and she's weed. To weed. It's reported. I looked into it because of my own reaction. It's a bad reaction. You're supposed to go to the hospital and you get it. I knew it at the time. I thought I should go to the hospital, but I can see the TMZ headlines now.
Oh, yeah.
So I did.
Yeah, because you're a doctor, too. That would affect. If I get arrested or something happens to me on weed, people just call me a pussy. It's fine.
I am a pussy, right? And I'm a lightweight, and that's it. It's not for me. And it's legal in the state where I live. It's not like we were doing illegal things. But it's not for me. It's not for everybody. And I am seeing, because of the potency of this shit, I'm seeing lots of problems.
Dude, it's so much stronger than it was.
Yeah.
You really need Mexican weed.
Well,
it's just a very low THC level weed. No one does that anymore. They all go it's like only drinking 151 instead of a glass of wine.
It's literally fentanyl versus Vicodin. It's like that kind of thing. It's way more powerful. And I'm seeing people get psychotic. Now, I used to not believe that weed made people. I was questioning.
I thought it released something in them that was already there.
That was back 10 years ago. We would go, we're not sure. Maybe it's people were prone to it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It makes people psychotic. Not that it makes them permanently psychotic, but you'll notice. Look at some of your friends. They get very grandiose and very opinionated and will tell you you're not listening. And this is very characteristic of the weed psychosis.
Interesting.
Yeah, look for it.
It's from long-term usage? One time?
No, it's from moderate to heavy use, but I think it's in, for whatever reason, certain people get it, certain people don't.
Isn't it predisposed?
People that I smoked weed with that fucked me up, they smoke weed every day and they're fine. That definitely is the thing.
Jonah Hill?
Not Jonah Hill.
Okay.
It's much more highbrow than this. That's the problem. I don't want to.
Barack Obama?
We're getting warmer, but that would be fun.
Then I would try it again.
Then I would try it again.
I'd be like, how many people did you kill? Dude. Yeah.
That's Crossfados.
Yeah.
Barbados.
There you go. Yeah. You got to say the whole thing.
It sounds a little racist, is it? Or
it's not.
It's not.
No? Okay.
It's not. You're just Crossfados in Barbados. It's a place.
Okay, yeah, it's not racist. Right. I wouldn't say that's any racist.
All right.
I have a question about weed, but let's keep talking about this.
So I am worried about it. My daughter's recovering. She was dabs and doing all the heavy shit and went off the rail. Now is in recovery.
Off the rail, do you mean psychosis?
She didn't get psychosis, but her life did not go well because she was addicted. She was fully addicted.
You explained to me once addiction with weed on middle love lines, you know?
It was much more unusual than now. Because again, the potency, the higher the potency, the more likely you get into trouble. That's how it goes.
But the way you said it was, and I've quoted this a bunch, where it's like anything that gets in the way of your life that you can't stop doing is an addiction. So,
that's it.
So you're like, oh, you're fine with it. Other people are not.
And we can even be more, we can give you a more specific definition. If it's affecting work or school, your financial situation, your legal situation, your health situation, or your relationships, and you don't stop. And
right,
you
where
progress.
You're like, I don't like what this is doing to me, but I can't stop.
I keep going. Or you're making, justifying it and making all deals with yourself and that kind of thing. So weed is really, if the potency stuff, she's got to be careful. She's down to tiny bits, and that's great.
I wonder what state she lives in. I would say, tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, correct me.
Go ahead.
Find some low THC, the 80s version of
weed. Why not just take a little bit of something?
The margins are so small.
Really?
Between this and this. It's like wrecked or not feeling it.
That's what happened to me.
It's too much.
Because I thought, hey, I'm going to smoke. Because these guys at the table with me were smoking, like just going nuts on this. I thought,
who, Segura?
When Segura? And I thought, I'm going to take a big hit and be with the cool kids.
Joey Diaz. Yeah.
It was the cool kids. It was the cool kids.
Yeah, weed is
and,
cool.
But the people, the players were the cool kids.
Sarah Silverman,
Kimmel. You're getting in there. You're getting in the right zone.
Come on.
And so I thought I gotta keep up. And I just, within seconds, I was a Parkinsonian. I couldn't
walk.
And
what did Galifianakis say when you were like actually like that?
Yeah, they were talking to me and felt bad, of course, and mentioned that he forgot to tell me this particular cigar was rolled in hash. And, I felt terrible myself because I was looking forward to this party and I like these people a lot and it's really fucked everything up.
Dude, I'll see it sometimes at shows, stand-up shows, where someone will get too fucked up. They'll take mushrooms before my shows, which I would advise not to do because you're bound in your seat. You don't want to be bound. It's the worst place to do it. And then they freak out in the lobby beforehand and it's like, handle your shit, dude.
So I had to go outside. I had to go outside and pace around. And I was out there for a while and my wife came out to check on me once in a while. And she came out like the third time I go, because I'm in my head, I'm thinking, if I can get through 3 hours, I'll be fine and go back in there. And maybe 2 hours, I'll be better. And I go, and I thought it'd been like hour and a half, 2 hours. And she comes out and I go, how long have I been here? She goes, 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, dude, we got to leave. That was it. And
did you say goodbye to John Hamm or anybody? Or just like...
you're in the right zone now. It was not John Hamm. Let's see. Regular Stone. I've experienced what you were describing the last 2 months. People are reacting to my story about the weed.
Wait. I have a question for you. Do you mind?
No.
Okay. I've seen this. Tell me if this is true or not. People who cannot get high.
Well, I think that Lewis is one of those guys. He seems like that.
No, but I mean, like, I've said...
Let me put it this way.
Yeah.
There's two different versions of it. There's people that are highly, highly tolerant and don't seem to get high. And there's people like me. I only experience misery. I mean, literally misery when I smoke weed. Same thing with opiates. I feel miserable. I don't have any sense of high. I understand what high is because I can get a little bit of that from alcohol. But opiates, weed make me miserable. So here I am having this horrible reaction. No high, only misery. It's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun. I mean, the funny thing is you're still like, all right, let me try it again. Everyone seems like they're having a good time.
If we're one more Barack chance. Obama, I would. I still want to be. You know what that is? That's my low self-esteem. I still want to be one of the cool kids.
You know,
I can't believe that I'm that much of a lightweight.
I heard the way they started medical marijuana was one of these guys who never got high, but he had terrible arthritis.
Dystonia,
Everyone's passing around a joint. And he goes, I don't really get high, but I'll try it just to be part of the party. And then he was like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah. So it's a challenging drug to use therapeutically and be aware of the side effects. That's all.
Right.
Like every drug has side effects. And my other fear is that big tobacco is taking over big cannabis and you're going to have a lot of that going on in here.
What do you mean?
They're going to be tobacco is going to be marketing to everybody. And these people are unscrupulous. All right. So here's somebody who said they experienced what I had. In the last 2 months as a regular stoner, I smoke about a half gram of dabs per week. Is that a lot? Half a gram?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Wait.
Buys the highest percent. This is Lewis probably. He's lying to me.
Probably
right?
Lewis. Yeah. How's the spelling? Bad?
It's sort of broken. Yeah. I'm sort of interpreting.
Yeah.
Your experience is what someone who is coming to weed with bad perception feels. What? Weed is basically synthetic anxiety. Gives you a rush on your couch with your experience. This is what every weed addict is. You're not doing it right. Your attitude is wrong. Your outlook is wrong. Here's what she says. Look at this. When you approach weed with your truth being, this is peace and zen.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, this is a marijuana
loser.
Addict.
Everybody's enjoy your elephant pants.
Our biologies are very, very different one from another. And as such, we all react to chemicals differently. That's all.
Dude, that same attitude is the same people like, no, you'd love to have a kid. Just have what? It's like, shut up. They never tell you the whole story. They just want you to live their life.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Hang on a second. I'm in front of this other one here.
Quit your job, man. Like, how am I going to feed my kids?
Are you thinking about having kids?
No, I had a vasectomy. Yeah. I hate children.
Hate children?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, whenever there's a school shooting, I celebrate. Where's other people?
Where are you performing? Where can they find you?
On the road. Pittsburgh. I visit right outside schools. Wow. I now have no carpool traffic.
Hey, Drew, I think I have some more voicemails.
All right, let's do some voicemails. I'm liking these emails so much.
I hate kids. I don't celebrate.
You want to get Ari off his death path?
Yep. I have some follow-up voicemails for you about weed.
All right, let's go.
Hey, Drewby. Cool guy AJ here. I'm calling about this feeling that you're talking about where your hands and your feet went numb.
Yeah.
It sounds like you achieved the peak, sir. That is the best feeling in the entire fucking world. Besides, when you hit a bong really, really hard and stand up too quick and almost pass out, and I understand, yes, it's brain damage, but it is also an incredible fucking feeling. You must just not be a cool guy, and that's totally cool. But you should definitely be smoking weed with Nadav. That is the safest environment that you can do it in, and then you can determine whether or not you want to smoke with Rogan or whoever the fuck else you decide to. But Nadav
I did
is
want to smoke
probably
with Rogan,
your best option, and I would stick with him. Keep him high and tight. You bet I'm coming up in May, and take bong hits that make you pass out, Drew.
All right, AJ, thanks. So this is a typical... People who love weed...
Yeah.
Same thing with the opiate addicts, too. They'll say the same thing. Like, they can't imagine that you have a different experience than they do or that you don't love it. So he's describing this experience I had, which I could not feel my hands and feet, and I was in misery.
Right.
There were two different experiences. It wasn't like the numb hand and feet was like making me miserable. No, I was like, oh, fuck, I know what's going on here. And I thought, could I be hyperventilating? I'll take it easy, you know. But I am miserable. I'm fucking miserable.
Also, I think at some age it changes. Louis Katz has a good joke about it. He's like, you know, marijuana, he lives in San Francisco, everybody smokes, it means no worries, right? And then one day, it just means all the worries.
Well, he's right. What happens is, this I see this all the time, people get mood disturbances and or anxiety eventually.
Anxiety.
Eventually. And then when in response to that, guys like AJ smoke more. That's their response. Like, this is my medicine for my anxiety. I'm just not taking enough. And so they take more, and that accelerates the decline. And that's when they start fishing around for something else oftentimes. So.
Heroin.
Not typically, but you know. Anyway, what else you got there, Noah?
Is weed a gateway drug?
I think the concept of gateway is completely just, the answer is no.
Nice,
I think the whole concept is flawed. If the weed would have kept working without causing the anxiety and depression, no one would ever leave the weed and go on to anything else. It's that the problem with weed is over time, it starts to have problems, then people give it up or go to something else or go to stronger weed or whatever. They start
I always think it's just a natural progression. It's like alcohol is not a gateway. It's like that's the first thing you're probably going to do. Weed's probably,
tobacco,
and then you get to coke.
It's exactly right. So the whole notion of gateway is such a loaded term. It's like if you smoke weed, you've opened the gate, you're going on to heroin. No, not going to happen. But yes, people do fish around for other things.
Has anyone shot up heroin who has not yet tried weed?
Yeah, the answer is very rarely.
Yeah,
because I used to say nobody starts with heroin. These days, because of all the pills and stuff,
some people get
opiates and they're right over to heroin. So, okay, what else we got?
I've got myself a cock problem.
Oops, my bad.
What's his cock problem?
I could talk about it, I guess, but I don't know if you want to hear about that.
What's his cock? I wonder what. Hold on, let's think. What his cock problem be? He loves them too much. It's too small.
We have all kinds of cock problems.
Yeah.
Sucking your own dick. Wow, you've been hard at work, Nadav. Woo!
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Give
him a college, dude. Here's
another voicemail. Hey, Dr. Drew, calling from Massachusetts. I've been hearing a lot of people asking you about cure for hiccups and crap like that. Now, I'm no doctor, but I am a bartender. And I've been bartending for 20 years, and I got a bar trick that always eliminates hiccups.
All right.
I always tell people, if it doesn't work, I'll pay you a tab. And I've never had to pay a tab.
All right.
So I know it works. You take a pint glass, fill it with ice, fill it with water, take a cocktail napkin or a thin napkin and napkin on thick, put it on top, like covering it from someone dropping your roofie, and chug the water through the napkin until it's either gone or you can't do it no more. It works every time. But like I said, never had to pay a bill. So you can relay that or not. It's cool. Love the show.
All right. Appreciate it, man. I love his accent. I'm no doctor.
From, yeah, we know.
Somewhere outside of Boston.
We're not allowed to be a doctor with that accent.
Southie. Well, I can't quite figure out. Can you imagine? Can you picture what he's talking about? Do you lay a napkin over your mouth and then pour?
It's to distract you.
To like waterboard you.
Yeah, it sounded like waterboarding, yeah. but.
I mean, I do something similar. Like, I just slowly just drink water without breathing for as long as I can.
Yeah, because hold your breath and swallow a lot.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's sort of, I think, what he's talking about. And that does kind of work. It's a spasm of your diaphragm. And so if you can relax the diaphragm by swallowing and holding your breath, that kind of thing, sometimes it will remit. Do you have any young ladies? Our female voice messages tend to be more, kind.
You know my all-time favorite voice, callers from you from the old days, back when I was in college, is somebody calling and saying, I was dating this guy and he hit me or whatever, and then Adam started like talking about it, and you're like, what number is this? And she was like, what? Like, what number is this for guys that have hit you?
Yeah, how many?
She's like, what? Yeah. How'd you know that? Am I wrong? And she's like, 7.
Yeah.
And I was damn, how'd you spot these things?
The two things would happen to us with those calls. One was we were trying to point out repetition compulsion, that people, once they do things, they're attracted to people and circumstances that repeat. And that if you think it's other people, it's you. You're attracted to these things, number one. And number two, we would close our eyes and we would get certain feelings because we just sit and listen to people all day and all night. And our bodies became how we listened. And we'd have a reaction and we'd know that reaction every time. So, all right. You got a young lady for me?
Hello, Dr. Drew. My name's Jane. I had a question.
Sure it is.
My husband is extremely insecure when it comes to his male genitalia. It's starting to affect our sex life, and I don't really know how to help him. I was just wondering if there's something I could do to make him feel better, more confident. He did have a girlfriend in his late teens who, once you get angry, would put him down, and I think it really affected his self-confidence. So let me know, and I hope I'm coming up in May. Thanks.
I got some thoughts.
Thanks, Jay. Let's hear them.
Put on a bunch of porn with small dicks.
Oh, there's small dick porn out there?
Yeah, and there must be. And then and then he'll be like, oh, I'm bigger than that.
Yes.
But act like look at that. And then act like that. Let him see you a bunch.
So
and
that turns you on. The micro penis turns you on.
Right, but then he's like, I'm way bigger than that.
Yeah.
And then also lie to him. Just be like, your dick's fucking huge. Oh, it hurts. Just fuck, we're so dumb.
But let's talk about guys in the penile.
Yeah.
It's uncanny, particularly the young male and his preoccupation with the penis. It's almost like the penis is connected to the self. It's a representation of the self. It is a manifestation of the self. And if you feel diminished, you feel small.
Yeah.
And if you are small, you feel diminished. You know what I mean? It's weird.
What is that? I thought in college, I thought I had a small dick.
Right.
Some girl was talking about it. I was like, my dick is small too. And she's like, what? No.
Right.
And it's like, it's pretty fucking, hoggy, but like, but I still thought I must have a small one.
Right. And so then, and when women go there with the cutting, you have a small dick, I would never satisfy me. That can stay with a guy for a long time. Now, here's the really interesting thing.
Yeah, how you fight it.
And I don't know if you have any of this, but if you have any, do you have any obsessive compulsive disorder kind of traits?
I chew my nails, but that's not it.
Well, that's an OCD kind of thing.
You're an OCD kind of thing.
I am.
How'd you like that? How'd you like that?
I am. I have OCD stuff. But men that have OCD can get very stuck in a loop around the penis. They really can't let go of it. And they'll start feeling like there's something wrong with the skin of the penis. It's too shiny. It's too this. It's too that. And a little
shiny.
I've had urologists and dermatologists send me guys all the time that are preoccupied with their penis. And a little Zoloft, it goes away.
Really?
Yeah, it goes away. But men still, we're so tied in with it. It's just ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And as you see, look at this case. Jane is perfectly happy with her husband.
Yeah, she's like, it's fine. I married him.
Yeah, and he can't get off it. That's not his penis.
Yeah.
That's his self-esteem and his sense of who he is and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you've heard the term obsessive thoughts. Like, we're like, I want to stop thinking about this
OCD
thing, but I can't stop thinking about somebody who wronged me or something like that. And you're like, ugh, let it go, but you just can't let it go.
That's a biology. And sometimes, by the way, back to weed, sometimes it gets worse with weed. Sometimes it gets better for a while, and then it gets worse. And so people who have OCD kind of like weed. It tends to be a thing that they kind of like it. And I've noticed sometimes their OCD symptoms get worse down the line. So, whoa. Or is it, whoa, heavy, heavy. One more voice message, then I want to go to some cool guys.
Hey, Drew, my name is Eric. And about 4 years ago, I contracted HSV2, or herpes. And
or herpes. Yeah, you know, herpes. That's only herpes.
And it really wasn't that crazy. But got a blood test and stuff, and all that was kind of weird. And in any case, I don't get a lot of outbreaks. I actually haven't had one since. And I don't really need to take Valtrex, but I do when I'm with a partner, just as a precaution. And it's always been a really awkward thing.
Hold
to
it.
Bring
hold,
up.
It. Hold it. Pause. Yeah.
Do you think he's going to ask if he can start having sex without a condom?
It's something like that's coming for sure. Okay. For sure. 100%. Okay. Or no, I think he's going to say, here's my prediction.
Yeah.
Do I have to tell anybody that I have herpes? That's what he's going to say. Okay. Let's see.
With someone we're dating. And I just want to know, like, do I have to keep taking the Valtrex? And like, how can I try to explain this to partners that it's not that big of a deal? And maybe to keep them from kind of initially freaking out when I break the news.
Right.
All right. Piss on me, beat me. Thanks.
So what do you say, Ari? What do you think?
Yeah, but you got to tell them.
That's right. I think you have an obligation to say something.
You'll get used to it the more you do it.
And you can phrase it too. You can really, just the way you discussed what you have, which is I don't seem to be producing virus. I don't have outbreak. It's 95% reduced anyway when you take Valtrex. If you want, I'll take the, definitely we have a new partner. Definitely stay on the Valtrex. He was asking, should I stay on it? Yes, because that really diminishes the transmission.
What are the negatives of Valtrex besides the money cost?
You know, a lot of people stay on it for years and years. I've seen people get weird kind of neurological symptoms like taste changes and things like that, but mostly nothing.
Like they start liking Two Bears, One Cave?
That is a very serious side effect that I've not yet seen, but has been reported. Yeah, that's dangerous when that happens. But it's a really interesting thing. I mean, this is a very common condition. Most people that have it don't even know they have it.
Most people who have herpes don't know they have it. And you can still spread it?
And you can still spread it. That's the data that's out there. A lot of people like him have an initial outbreak and then never anything else. And what do they do? And people freak out when they find out about it. So we stigmatized this skin rash in the 70s and 80s and 90s, and I always thought HIV would wipe that out. I thought
nobody cares about HIV anymore. It's done.
But even when I was, you know, one of the reasons I got involved in radio was because Dr. Fauci was saying you got to get out there and educate about this thing we were just starting to call AIDS, and I thought, oh, when they learn about AIDS, this other thing, that's a real illness. What do you worry about? There's no rash in here. This real illness, guys. This kills people 100% of the time. Nope. It never went away. Here we are 50 years later.
Because people really didn't believe it. Heteros never believed they could really get it. But they all believe they could get herpes.
Yeah, that's true. And HIV, people are...
Now it's done. Dude, Mateo Lane lets dudes with full HIV blast away in his butt.
I don't understand
PrEP. That. It's a force field.
Well... So he's talking about the pre-exposure prophylaxis with an antiviral medicine, which does really work, but it doesn't work 100%. I mean, it's Russian roulette, man.
They're going for it. They're all just for it.
I'm surprised to hear you say that because that was the fear of PrEP, that when doctors were starting to recommend PrEP, they started fearing that people would not take precautions any longer. Yeah. And lo and behold, that's what's happening. Good times, everybody.
New York was wild. Wait. What were we just talking about?
Herpes. Telling your partner. You got to tell the partner. It's the right thing to do. And it's just the way it is.
When I got chlamydia once, and I was like, I got to text everybody for the last like year.
No.
How long? You should text people that you've had sex with.
This is a really tough one, right? Some chlamydia, men normally don't carry chlamydia. They can, but they normally don't carry it. In other words, women
I have?
You got infected and then you got symptoms, right?
Yeah.
Or did they find it incidentally?
It was a pee in two directions.
Oh, yeah. So whoever you had recently had sex with gave you chlamydia.
Yeah.
And unless you had sex with somebody else subsequent to that while you were still having the split urine, you don't have to tell anybody.
Well, right?
Whoever you're with, I don't know. But that other person has got...
Dogs.
Has got the...
You met her.
I did. She's lovely, by the way.
Thanks.
But whoever that other person is has got some explaining to do possibly to other people, right?
Lewis said it once. I was like, I have to text all these people. And he goes, you don't. And I'm like, no, it's the right thing to do. Otherwise, somebody might not know they have it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what it was. I just like, I guess I'm peeing slow.
Yeah.
And then they'll spread it to someone else. And he goes, Ari, how many women have you had sex with? And I was like, about 20,000. And he goes, that's not true. But then he goes... how many times have you gotten a text saying, hey, I have herpes or HIV or whatever, and you should be careful?
Yeah.
And I was like, zero. Yeah. No one sends the text.
Well, and unfortunately, and I don't want to this is not to take aim at women, but women are the ones that can have these things and not know it. And so they're more likely to need to kind of, you know, usually the doctor that's uncovering whatever's going on will tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So rely on your medical provider to give you advice. That's what I'd say.
You just get used to telling people you have herpes. I don't know. Or go on herpes dating websites.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's right. Because it is so, so, so common. Let's see a cool lion prank. I want to see some cool people, some cool guys. It's been a while.
Dude.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
They get down in the Arab countries.
Oh my God.
What?
What was the guy doing in the first place? Just taunting the lion? Is that the idea? And his friend, his so-called friend, just threw him into the lion?
Threw him. What size human is that?
Yeah, I know.
Now,
oh, the lion just...
It looks like the dude may be a small person, or either that or the other guy's a giant. Right?
He can't get away. Oh, my God.
I mean, that's how... what's his name?
I think it's a lion cub.
But that's how the magician got killed, just by the teeth going into the neck, right?
Yeah. Wow, remember that? They were like, these lion tamers. It's amazing. And then one lion was like, oh, yeah, right, I'm a lion. I think that's Rogan's bit. I just remembered, oh, yeah, I'm a fucking lion.
Right.
I'm a tiger. This gay dude's fucking yelling at me.
I can't remember the guy's name now. It's weird. Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy.
All right. We're going to look at some TikToks.
Damn, what the fuck was that?
That was a cool guy.
Just some cool guys palling around.
See, Tom would be satisfied by that. He would think, that's justice. That would feel good to look at that. I feel bad when I look at that. It feels, I mean, what kind of dude is throwing his friend into the line?
You just got to get high. You just got to smoke some herpes.
There you are.
Okay, so this next one is a cool guy that we found on TikTok that has a message that he wants to, you know, share with the world.
Hold on, before you play this.
Yeah.
You went to medical school, right?
I know, yes. Yes, I did.
All right.
And spent many, many years, even afterwards, training and teaching, and this is what it was all about. Thanks, Ari.
Perfect, Drew. Maybe you can diagnose this guy.
All right.
Hello, TikTok talkers out there. I have a new phone. I've been out of commission for a while because I had to get a new phone.
Foam.
And I would like to start back by coming back by talking about me.
Oh, good.
This title segment is going to called I'm Not Your Average Guy.
It's going to called? Who is this dude?
You've shown me him before, haven't you?
The reason why I'm doing this is for three reasons.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Because there are women out there
who
say they're interested and they want to get to know me. But they're either playing games or they're not sure what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah, I wouldn't
about
be sure.
To get mad, yeah.
Second reason I'm doing this is because a lot of men out there have lost their moxie. They've forgotten how to be men. They're terrified.
He's looking for an excuse to.
And I'm hoping
he wants you to give
this
him the okay.
Give them their moxie back.
Okay.
He's going to advise
about me.
By talking about me, I'm going to help all men. Oh, my God. He's fantastic.
Third reason is right.
Thank you for your service, sir.
There are a lot of women out there who've lost their way, too.
Hmm? Oh, yeah?
They become arrogant. They become too prideful. They become full of themselves. Feminists, as they were called. Some women out there are not like that, and hats off to you. But hopefully, after this video of talking about me will knock you down a peg or two.
Oh boy.
Oh
this
man.
This is a great strategy, dude. Wild.
Me talking about me will lead by an example and help my fellow men out there gain their moxie back.
Moxie.
Because
I mean, this is the video you discover after the shooting.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And women need to be knocked down a peg.
And what's
or two?
A 20-something-year-old man talking about moxie? It's like from the Borscht Belt in the 40s. Weird. But here's the thing:
he's got to get laid,
right? But he does really bring up a really interesting. I'm not endorsing anything this dude is saying.
No, you can endorse him.
No, I'm not. But because we've seen him before, and it's even more. He was more disturbing last time I saw him. But he is putting his finger on something that I've been thinking about lately. There is something weird going on between men and women, young men and women, that has never happened in my lifetime before.
What's going on?
Statistically, what we're seeing is about 10% of men are having a great time, and 90% are really like lonely and miserable.
You know who the 10% are?
Who?
Blacks.
Okay.
They're really still loving their lives.
Not Jews?
No.
Okay. But the point is that there's this division occurring, and it's, to some extent it's happening with women too, because women, if you're
less
not,
sex, right?
It's less sex, but there's also less of an understanding of what a relationship offers. You're an example of it. You don't want to have kids. You don't want to do it, and people are sort of turning away from intimacy and sex. Both. Men have a basic orientation that they want sex. If a relationship happens, great. And women generally, motivationally, have relationship like, hey, I'd like a relationship. If a sex happens, great. Those priorities are all distorted. People are not able to kind of get their needs met. They're not understanding each other. There's a lot of, I'm not sure what it is yet.
In Thailand, the women there are motivated to have sex earlier because, if you make a dude wait 4 or 5 dates, they're like, I'm just going to go get one.
Right.
So you really just can't.
So it's a marketplace.
You need to work for this.
It's a marketplace thing.
And with dating apps or fuck apps.
Yes.
It's really like a guy can find 6-7 women a week. So it's like, why would he ever be fooled?
But some guys can, and some get none.
Some get none. But the vibe across the country is this is just how you do it. There's no reason to go and find love or anything
or
like
have
that.
Have a relationship.
Yeah. You're in the world, even if you're not part of it.
And then women sort of don't need men. Like they're supporting themselves. They do whatever, they do their own thing. They're, you know what I mean?
Do you think any of it's like the overhyping in like the news or media, whatever you want to call it, of like intergender betrayals? Like you sexually harassed me or anything like that, so everyone's just too scared to even like try.
It started there because I my kids were in college when that was all going on, and I watched the male college students scared shitless.
Yeah,
they didn't want to be seen as any of that. They wanted to be a good person. They would never talk to a woman if they were drinking. For being seen,
they're just like, I can't.
No, I might be, you know, or if she's drinking,
which is when normally that's when you start up.
That's
we met at a party. We're both drinking, and then now we've been together 7 years.
So I don't know. It's like a new realignment needs to occur or something. And by the way, the voice messages out there. So send me more on this. I stopped talking about my anticholinergic delirium and weed. We've had enough of that. Let's get on to what is making people happy, unhappy. What do you see out there? I'm interested because it's feeling like there's a realignment occurring.
Yeah, realignment. So it's uncomfortable until it gets realigned.
Exactly. And I think some people are suffering. I think they're.
I see it all the time. It was like that guy was a creep. He asked me out, and I'm like, and then when you said no, what happened? He's like, he went away, and he's like, oh, you need to not say that.
Yes,
that's making every dude unable to.
Well, and men, and the workplace is a mess for men. Everything's kind of a mess for men, and they are feeling diminished.
Yeah, and then you hear a bunch of people, the response is, oh, boo-hoo, oh, you're having a hard time now? But it's like, these are individuals. They're not a part of a group.
That is exactly it. That these individuals are feeling diminished and lonely and sort of unworthwhile. I see it. I interact with these age groups, 20s and 30s right now, and it's breaking my heart, frankly. Some of them are fine. Some are fine. Some are great. Yeah. Some have a good old time. But there's a large number and a way abnormally large number for youth, people that should be enjoying themselves and hanging out and doing stuff. You know, so.
I'm not your average guy.
I remember a young comic hitting on me 6, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, somewhere in that range. And I was like, I'm like, this might be a power dynamic thing. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And then later when my other buddy's like, oh, I hooked up with her. She's great. She's cool. And it's like, yeah, right. A consenting adult wants to hook up.
Well.
What are we, some of it's just so hazy.
It's hazy and weird and no one wants to be a bad person.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to do what's right. And if you're, imagine being 22 or something, being so confused by it. And then you go on the dating apps and you can't get anywhere. You're the percentage that doesn't.
And you're making this. Making this guy.
Is there more with him? Is there more to be learned with his diet?
Oh, yeah, there's a whole other thing, yeah.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
What's the thing people drop?
So, I've been running around doing errands, but as promised, I am doing a segment talking about me.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So,
Yeah, I mean,
always. I'm not your average male.
Hang on a second. But this is where they go, right? This is where
the internet.
Well, not only that, it's like, I can't figure out why these women don't like me, why I'm alone. Oh, I know. I'm not being assertive enough, and I need to be me, be a man. And this just looks sad and cool. A cool guy.
I mean, he's turning to strangers to ask.
Not to ask, to help them. He's helping strangers by being, sort of being a... They're so confused.
What's the thing people release? What's the word for it when
pheromones?
You release no, like a statement that you release, like a
like a manifesto.
Manifesto.
This is manifesto.
Yeah,
yes, it
manifesto
is. Which is why you said before the shooting.
Yeah.
So keep going.
Okay. So we're gonna talk about my interests and hobbies and goals.
So you're wearing a shirt that says Civil War?
No, I think it's like a Star
so
Wars
what I'm interested
or
in.
Something.
I'm interested in drawing.
Maybe it does say Civil War. Yeah. You're right.
Drawing.
Holy shit.
A long time now.
Good.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah, so is Hitler.
Don't want to brag, but I am really good.
This is like what he should be telling his mom at age 14. Like, Mom, am I good? I like what I'm doing.
Well, and as soon as I clean my house up, organize and everything,
you see why I get sad
when
I see this show? I get sad.
Chess.
The Dom
so
is delighted. Tom is delighted.
I tend to rebuild my portfolio because
Christina makes
when
him feel worse.
Younger,
laughs at him.
I mean, he's at the coffee shop behind you. These guys, you just don't know that you're running into these people all the time in New York. You realize?
Yes.
They're just barely holding on.
Yes.
They look at you. They touch their pocket, and you don't even know they're holding a gun. And they just go, nah. And then they get on. You have no idea how close you were every single day.
I don't want to brag, but. And, I am really good.
This makes me so sad. It really does. Is there much more?
Yeah, there's a little bit more.
All right.
Too long ago, also.
You got to get this guy a podcast on YMH Network.
And then they mysteriously disappeared.
I don't imagine that.
Or they were destroyed. And I don't want to get back into drawing unless I can actually protect my artwork to ensure that it never gets stolen again.
You lost it.
Again. So once I get a chest, a big, it's like treasure chest, put a lock on it and everything, I'll get back in the drawing. I'll rebuild my portfolio, and I'll go to art school and
okay, good, go to art school,
some kind of art class to
go.
Get better at it. I make
go
enough money
now.
So I can afford it.
Go now, dude. Go to art school.
Is there any way to dub that speech over a Hitler speech? Just have Hitler just saying this, to a crowd.
Oh, Jesus. Oh my God.
I mean, if anyone could do it, the production staff at here, YMH Network.
So it makes me sad that this is suffering.
Damn.
It's a really sad person.
I mean, you're gonna get a subpoena to Duff to be like, we need that footage.
Yeah. So
Nemesis.
Who has a nemesis? How grandiose do you have to be to have a nemesis?
He said femicist.
Femicist.
Strong
women are his enemies.
It's interesting. Feminist nemesis is a femicist.
Nemesis.
So this is a great example.
You fucking bitches with their fucking confidence. What, do they have jobs? They're an idiot!
Yeah, this is what we were talking about. I mean, you know what?
You think maybe that guy needs a little weed?
Maybe. I mentioned Corolla earlier, and you know what he would say about guys like that? He goes, "You need to go do something with your hands. You need to go dig up a ditch.
Build something.
He
draws.
Yeah, that's why I said go to art school. Okay, give me the female rapper. What's going on there?
Yo, what's up?
Oh boy,
I'm looking for a female rapper
that
lives here in Pueblo,
Pueblo
that wants to record some music with me. So yeah, get at me. Cause I'm home all day.
I'm afraid I know why.
And everything.
And plus, we could do some video shoots too.
He doesn't know.
For music.
Just for music.
So that's all I got to say. So peace out.
I am hoping that the appearance of his head is something related to the angle of the camera or something.
No, it's so triangle.
If that's really him, he ever seen a picture of Beetlejuice from Stern?
Yep. Yeah, he looks like an Incredibles mixed with Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And with a little Kreischer in there.
Do you have any Beetlejuice pictures you can kind of throw up there for people? Because it's called microcephaly. That's the name. Or you just pick up microcephaly, but Beetlejuice, he'll come right up there.
I remember all these things.
Yeah, just remember I went to medical school.
Oh, yeah, right.
There he is. God, I love him.
Beetlejuice.
There it is. So you see the shape of the head there?
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
Microcephaly?
Microcephaly. It's literally under development of the brain. And I'm hoping that guy doesn't have that. I'm hoping it's just the camera angle. He is what we call non-neuronormative. God bless him.
What's non-neuronormative? Is that the new retard? Hmm? Non-neuronormative?
And I'm sure he is home all day because it'd be hard to find work if you're...
I like when he just throws in and everything.
Oh, poor guy. See, I feel sad. You see how I feel? Look at all this stuff. I feel sad.
Well, feel happy. That's not you.
Other people are welcome to feel that way. I
feel sad for humanity.
I get to see these people in real life, and it's
any chance we can hook up those last two people with each other?
The guy that's talking
start
about himself.
Group? Maybe play Hellfire.
Give me another voicemail before I wrap it up. I need something to clear my palate.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Bruce Boyd. I had a quick question. So I was on my period, mm-hmm. and I really did not want to be on my period.
Yeah,
that
I get
week
it.
We had a huge event that I wanted to go to.
What was your event? Yeah, not
so
bleeding?
My boyfriend and I had sex while on my period, and nice. He comes in me, nice. And somehow my period stopped. Now, this was like 2 days into my period, which has never happened before, ever. My periods normally last 5 to 7-ish days, and it just stopped at day 2. What is that about? And can I just do that all the time? Like, is that a thing? Please let me eat. Love you guys.
Yeah. You know, a lot of things can affect menstrual flow and menstrual timing and whatnot. I can't think of a mechanism for what you're describing. You'd have to try it a few more times to see if it really did happen.
Do you think maybe he had a high intake in his diet of cement and maybe it spackled the inside of her pussy?
Spackle? Really interesting. I like how your mind works.
Yeah.
Or maybe he'd been smoking a lot of meth or something and that sort of
stopped it.
Stopped it.
Maybe he hit that back wall just right.
Or maybe so he cleaned it out.
Yeah, he cleaned out that pussy, dude.
Wow.
Stop the period with your cock.
I like the way Ari brings it at the end of the show.
I mean, the first lady must have to say this to her husband. Like, your dick stops my period.
So I doubt that it will happen again, but it'll be interesting if it did. The only way you can really stop your period is taking hormones. And people do that to time things up for weddings and things like that. They will do that to sort of... And by the way, you know,
Can you make a tea of something that'll start your period early to get it out of the way before a big event? Like not peppermint, basil?
I don't know, but that worries me because you can create irregularities in the menstrual period. But you know, there are birth control pills you can take continuously, so you never have your period.
Nice.
You don't have to have a period, right? There's nothing about the period that has to happen. So if you don't grow the endometrial lining, it doesn't have to slough off, and the pills can suppress that.
Yeah, they should do that. It's disgusting.
You don't like talking about periods?
No. I mean, to have one. I don't know how women haven't figured out just get a shot and just never have. It's such a fucking negative.
They can do that.
It's just bleeding out of your fucking pussy for a week, this lady. Not even for 3 days like regular humans. A fucking week. What? A quarter of a fucking month, dude. She sees the moon coming and she's in fear. We're like, oh, this will be nice to hike. That's what a terrible life.
Look what women put up with.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Just to get that dick.
Does it increase?
Worth it.
Oh, no, it's not to get the dick. It's to get the baby.
Ugh.
And so doesn't it increase your esteem for them?
Yeah. No, I mean, you're putting up with a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
but your point is well taken that you can do a thing. Let me just say that I'm not a super fan of all the hormonal manipulations because what it does to women, the mood and whatnot, is not enough is made of that.
Like, if they did a little research where it wouldn't affect your hormones, if one woman could become a scientist already and fucking research it so it wouldn't affect your fucking mood all the time in those periods, we ended racism, we could do anything.
Let's leave it at that. We can do anything. Ari, where can people see you, find you?
You can see me online. My new special, Ari Shaffir Jew. It's right there right now. I'll be in Pittsburgh and Seattle, Vancouver, and doing a big show at the Beacon in March. I don't know when tickets are on sale, but everything's at arishaffir.com.
Beacon in
New York City.
New York
biggest
City.
Show I've ever done.
Wow.
I'm excited. March 24th.
That. You see how he did that? No, right here, right now.
What does that mean?
You can find that right here, right now. That's a famous phrase from this show.
Right here, right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that?
Right now, right now.
Home here now.
Home here. He seems to want to see it.
Yeah.
Do we have access to it?
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay. So this is a
This is one of the first things.
I love the catchphrase. I'll hear an occasional YMH catchphrase, and I'll just see it a bunch. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like feathering it. Yeah. I'm like, what does this mean?
Feathering
until
it
you
was
figure
a,
out what it is.
Feathering was a guy named Fed Smoker. Was yeah, a severe man, and he was lighting his hair on fire.
And he's feathering it.
Feathering
that
it to cut it. Feathering, lighting it on fire.
Like I rolled.
And he, yeah. And this is Robert Paul Champagne, who was one of the first videos I ever saw when I came in here.
Nobody Stop Me? Is that him?
No. He is a guy that, again, I felt sad when I saw him. I actually went and visited him in his home in the Upper East Side. Oh, yes. There's a whole video online. You can see me. Let's just say we didn't air the second part of it because it gets a little intense.
Oh, my God.
We did air the second part?
Yeah. Okay, we talked about this a couple times.
I'm sorry. Where can they see it?
On YouTube. Just look up...
it's just available just
yeah,
for
Robert
everybody.
Paul Champagne.
Oh, that's where my special Jew
is. Dr. Drew or Robert Paul Champagne and Josh Potter. You'll be able to find it. But
So Josh went in there and I thought, I want to know more about this guy. So I went in there and interviewed him. He is a lovely man. He's a lovely man. But this was the first video I was exposed to.
Black guys who love to fuck and fuck good. If you're a hot black guy, you want to fuck me at $23.95. If you want to move in, you can move in, but you got to fuck me. I need to be fucked a lot, man. Get free food, free rent, and everything else, man. Here's a deal, man. Men from jail, homeless, or you're a thug, you want to come move in? A friend can move with you too, man. Free rent, you get a lease and a key. Fuck me. Piss on me. Beat me. I'm home now. Now. You see me? You want to come over today and try it out? Try
now.
It out, man.
Try it out.
Try it out.
If you're in my building, try it out. You want to fucking piss on me? Try it out. Seriously, probably only just fuck, man. I'm looking for hardcore guys that mean it and want to do it, and I want to deliver it. I'm a hot white trash. Come dump. Let's fuck.
So I saw that and I was sad.
You were sad?
I was sad.
This guy knows what he wants.
And
Try it out, Drew.
And try it out. And home here now. And when I went and interviewed him, he just said, oh, I'm just having fun. I'm trying to turn people on the other side. I don't really. I'm like, dude, do criminals come in here and physically abuse you? He was a little vague about it, frankly. I never got a straight answer. But he just said he really just likes playing and helping people online get off. So.
What a saint, huh?
Yeah, he's a great humanitarian.
Yeah.
And his apartment is woo.
What? Looks like Barris's?
Who's?
I don't know. Just a hoarder friend of mine.
Well, yeah, this kind of hoarder stuff going on. And you had to kind of, it's hard to navigate through and stuff. And he had lots of costumes and he had Santeria. He had a lot of sort of altars to the devil and things in there.
How did he react when you pissed on him?
I did not do it. I did not.
Wow.
He
so self-centered.
Yeah. He used to go down to Coney Island and had a drag show he would do. And I thought, wow, we got to resurrect that one day and go see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in Austin.
Ooh, one of the live shows. Who knows? Try it out.
Fly it out.
Ari, it's great to see you. It's been way too long. Too, great to see you, man. Yeah, good luck with everything. Good luck with Jew and everyone else. I will see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.